Hello, and welcome to Life's Vital Chapters with Jen and Ren, a podcast where we delve into the stories that make us who we are. I'm Jen, the founder of Connects Workspace, an entrepreneur, community builder, and a believer in the power of kindness.
And I'm Ren, a leadership coach and systems consultant, and a believer in elevating our collective consciousness. Together, we're here to explore the vital chapters of life, the ones that define, challenge, and inspire us.
In every episode, we open the book on topics that resonate with all of us, from the joys and challenges of life to the adventures that shape our personal and professional journeys.
We believe every individual has a story worth telling, stories of growth, change, and the wisdom gained along the way. And in this podcast, we're uncovering these stories straight from the soul.
Whether you're in your second chapter of life like us, or at any other chapter of your life, there's something here for you. We're here to celebrate the golden moments, the lessons learned, and the paths taken.
So grab a cup of your favorite coffee or tea, settle in, and join us as we embark on this journey together. It's about real people, real stories, and the real chapters that define our lives.
Welcome to Life's Vital Chapters.
Let's turn the page to our next adventure. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Ren.
Well, today here we are on our third episode, and this is kind of a fun episode. We thought about, of all the things in Life's Vital Chapters, something that we do know to be true is that around 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and there are quite a few people that are choosing not to get married anymore. And thus, there's a lot of dating in midlife. And so we are going to interview the Dating Days podcast host, Jeff Kimes and Mindy Lynn.
So great to meet you guys. I was able to listen to one of your podcasts, and since I haven't really dated since high school, since I've been married for 31 years, it was really great to kind of enter, like, be kind of a fly on the wall on the experience. It was fabulous. Seems like you've been doing it for a while because you're in the 70s of podcasts. So just excited to hear about how Dating Days started and both of your individual journeys. So thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.
Thanks for having us. Do you want to start how it got started, Jeff? It really got started as a joke.
Is that an actual question, or is that just like, we'll ask this question?
We want to know. We would like to know about your podcast and why you started it.
Well, first, I would say I'm a big fan of podcasts generally. I listen to them all the time and I love listening to them. And so I'd always thought, like, well, I want to make a podcast at some point. And then this dating and especially when you're first dating after you're divorced and you're like, we understand that it more now, but there's all these things that come up and you're like, I wonder if other people have the same problem or question about online or like after you go out on a date. And then Mindy was dating and we would talk about it and say, like, here's what I'm doing, here's what I see, what should I say here? And then I was like, you know, I'm going to do a podcast on dating. And then Mindy insisted that she had to be on it.
I did.
She had to be the co-host. So I was like, all right, we'll try it.
You're funnier together, huh? I would agree.
You are. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, Mindy is a little bit more of the, if you listen to enough episodes, I mean, it's good to have a man and a woman, I think. So there's that two different points of view. But also Mindy tends to be, I don't know how you describe it, a little more conservative in her choices for dating and who she dates and what she does in terms of sex and not sex and various things like that.
Okay, so Jeff, we can assume from then that you're less conservative than Mindy.
Yes, in every way there is, probably, really.
Well, awesome. Well, tell us what you both, so you started it because you were having these, you were both divorced and having dating experiences. So you were sharing your experiences, but also I assume you've been learning from others based upon listening to your podcast. So tell us what you've learned about dating in midlife and dating after divorce.
A lot of people really don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know what they want. A lot of the experts that we have had on really talk about establishing who you are and what you want before you enter the dating pool and making sure that you're healed from previous relationships. It's interesting because once you are healed and you've done the work, it's very easy to identify very quickly who hasn't when you're going out on first dates. And so a lot of first dates really end up being, I call them therapy sessions, because the person sitting on the other end of the table really shouldn't be there. So my biggest takeaway is just make sure that you're actually ready to insert yourself into the world of dating, and also have an idea of what your expectations are regarding dating.
And when you say healing, what do you mean by that? And how can you tell, aside from you're giving therapy?
So if you show up and feel the need to explain your entire story about your second ex-wife for the entirety of the date, you are not ready to date.
Yeah, there's a lot of so people will say, like, you know that term healed, or you're working on yourself. That's a thrown around term in dating, and you're like, what does it even mean? And yeah, maybe you go to therapy, but that oftentimes doesn't mean shit. I mean, like, yeah, you went to therapy and your therapist, you talk to him or whatever. But the foundation of if you go out on a date and find yourself like complaining about or telling about your ex-wife or ex-husband, then probably you're not quite ready. You're still kind of pissed off or holding on to that. That's kind of a no-brainer there. I can't even really think of the last time I told somebody I was dating about my ex-wife.
Yeah, neither.
Or what my marriage was like, unless they, you know, maybe after you start dating for a little while. But yeah, on the meet and greets, that's our coined term for the first time you go out with somebody. Like, you're just meeting them. It's just casual, you know, no expectations, and, you know, just see if you want to get together with them again. So on meet and greets, if you feel like you're getting in there and like saying like, God, my ex-wife is such a bitch, and the divorce was so unfair and that stuff, it's like, you probably not time for dating. Yeah. And then, so whatever healed means. So some people will say like, well, I'm still healing from my past relationship. And it's like, everyone's got some baggage, and you're always going to have that. We're all working on ourselves, possibly, like, for the rest of our lives. So at some point, though, you got to like just go for it and start meeting people. Somebody's got to be a rebound, I always say. I'm volunteered to be rebounds, depending on how hot they are, I guess.
Well, Jeff, because I was wondering, you know, in listening to your podcast, it seems like you dating is more of a social experiment, a social time for you. Do you have the intent to find, are you looking for the one, or is it more, it's just a part of your social life?
When I saw you guys that were going to ask something about, are you looking for the one, you know, and I'm like, I think maybe like when you first start dating, you have this idea that that's what's going to happen. And I think if you go into it thinking I'm going to meet the one, you're going to be disappointed, because it's not likely to happen.
Did you experience when you were younger, though, were you looking for the one? Has it changed, I guess, in midlife?
I think when you first get divorced, after, if you've been married for a while, and you're like, yeah, I am going to find the one. It's going to be amazing. And then I think you start to get more realistic. And yeah, it's a social activity. Yeah, you know, I want a long-term, you know, relationship with, you know, fulfilling, deeper relationship with somebody, but I'm totally happy being single and just like kind of having a series of relationships or situationships where you just maybe there, you two people get together and you're both like, well, this maybe isn't a long-term deal, but we can go out and hook up once in a while. That's fine too. I'm fine with that.
Mindy, what about you?
I don't do that. So, as you said, we're kind of opposite. I would like to meet the one, but I don't have like an expectation that I will. So if I do, great. But if I don't, that's okay too. I'm perfectly happy single. I actually haven't even been dating for a while, given some personal circumstances, and my availability is very minimal. So I just focus on hanging out with my friends and skiing. And if I were to meet somebody organically, then I do. But if not, I don't have time for anything like apps right now. But yeah, I would like to meet the one, quote unquote, but whether or not it happens, I'm okay.
And how long have you both been divorced? Like, what's that journey been like?
It's more than 14 years, almost 15. So, I mean, I've had relationships, I've been engaged, I've had, you know, a couple of years to a few months and everywhere in between, but lots and lots of meet and greets, literally in the hundreds, like probably at this point. When you start to, if you've been this long and you're like, at some point, you start to think about it and you're like, well, by, let's just say 20 dates in a year, or not in a year.
like a year, that's a lot, or that's nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah. I was going to say, like, maybe if you had, you know, if you start to add it up, maybe 10 in a month, you know, see, so the 120 in a year was like, you just were kind of like going out, you know, maybe once or twice a week. And then, you know, times out times 10 or 15 years, you're in the hundreds easily. But there's a bar we go to in downtown Littleton, Kate's, and I've been there. It's really close by me. It's a great place for meet and greets. And there's somebody that's there that one of the owners has worked there a long time. And I'm like, how many dates do you think I've been in here? Like 100, 200. And she's like, at least, like maybe 300 at least, just there. So
you start to have the staff kind of give you their opinion on.
Oh, they'll tell you after. I mean, a good bar though, like you have to know, like they have to be discreet because they can't be like, oh, you're
right.
You know, probably not act like you were just in there like last week with another date. Although, you know, it's fine. I don't care if they say that I've been in there or not. I have been a million times. So,
yeah, when I first walked in, he actually had to announce that I was not a date, like stand up and it's like, this is Mindy. She is not a date.
Yeah. I mean, there might have been a hot woman in there. I didn't want him to think like that she was always on a date with her.
How did you two meet? I don't think we
met skiing.
Okay. Yeah. And did you date each other at all?
No.
We did not never know.
never going to happen either.
So you're like best friends and you're like the one person, maybe it sounds like Jeff in Colorado that Mindy's like the one person maybe you haven't gone on a date with.
Maybe. Yeah.
Probably.
That is not true.
And so I think what I'm hearing you say is that, I mean, is this kind of a shift of dating in midlife and after divorce, or is this how dating is just in general in the world right now? Or is this really more specifically of what you have experienced and you have seen others experience?
Yeah, I would say I feel like you start out like, you know, you're used to being in a, you know, if, you know, let's assume it's post-marriage, you're used to being in a relationship, maybe living with somebody or whatever. And at first you're sort of like, yeah, I'm going to do that again. Or maybe it was so horrible, you don't want to even think about it. But then after, you know, you start to get used to living alone, like being independent and maybe, you know, dating here and there to see if you can find a relationship. But I think I think this is probably true. Like the longer you're single, the less likely, I think, because you get used to like, you're fine being alone. You're like, and you also, it's harder. You get activities based on your own schedule and it's hard to like fit somebody into it. And you know what you like, and it's going to be hard to get somebody to join into your life after you're used to being alone. And then you're even just like, just practical things like, you know, sleeping in a bed alone and like, here's how I like to keep my house or, you know, stuff like that. I don't know.
People maybe more set in their ways in midlife.
Could be.
Mindy, what about you? What about you? What's your stance on that?
I think you have, I agree and I disagree. I agree because you do come up with your own schedule. It's easier to manage your own life. A lot of us have kids, so it's easier, you know, just to be responsible for you and your kids. And then go on some fun dates or whatever when you don't have your kids. However, I think that for me, it's more so with the red flags that maybe I wouldn't have walked away from when I was 20, that now I'm like, oh, I would never marry you or date you long-term because I could never see this working out. And I think it's easier to pick up on that after being married, going on hundreds of dates, probably, just to see like, this would not work. And this is why it wouldn't work. It doesn't mean I can't appreciate a nice date or two, but there are certain people that I've dated that I would say I could never, like, I enjoyed the relationship. They were great people, but it would not work long-term.
And would you agree that the longer you have been divorced, the less likely it is?
No, I don't necessarily think that. I have seen plenty of, I've been divorced 9 years, and I will say I've seen people get divorced, get remarried, and get divorced again in the time that I've just been divorced, because some people just seem to rush into things without actually thinking about the practicality of the situation or what it, you know, especially with kids involved, like the blending family seems really hard. That's not something that I want to do. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but I'm glad that I haven't gotten remarried at this point, because I can tell you that if I would have married anybody that I dated, we would be divorced more than likely. And I'm not saying like they're good people, right? But there's just some things that don't line up. And so it wouldn't work.
Speaking of kids, when do you bring them in? Like, how do you navigate that? Do you keep it completely separate? Have you introduced anyone you're dating to your children?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I have two girls. They're, you know, one's out of college, one's in college. So I'm past where that matters. But I think especially, so when I was first divorced, they were little, and you're kind of cautious and you read all these books, at least I do, like, here's how you date after you're divorced. And, you know, they're like, here's, you know, what you can do to, and you're a lot more like, oh, here's, I'm going to wait a really long time. And then when I introduce them, it's going to be like, let's go to the zoo and here's my friend and shit like that. And then as you go on, I think you just become like, but probably doesn't really matter that much, I think. And the kids get older and they're used to you dating. I don't know. As they got middle, like they were, you know, middle school age, like, nah, dad's dating, and maybe it just would happen. Like, just, you know, circumstances were like, yeah, they're going to meet you. Is that cool? Or whatever. It wasn't even a big deal anymore. And I don't know. I don't think it's, at least for my kids, it wasn't a big deal. And then as, you know, once they're teenagers in high school and stuff, it's like, somebody's over for dinner. They happen to stop by to pick up their homework or some shit like that. And it's no big deal. Like, oh, this is so-and-so, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal either. I think it's funny when people are like, I am waiting 6 months to introduce you to my children. I could see it maybe for younger kids, but honestly, I have a lot of male and female friends. And so if somebody comes around in my kids' world, it's not a big deal. And we even, like, they're older now, so we even joke about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, you have a girlfriend? You're talking to three different guys? I am talking to no one. Like, both of you guys are beating me right now.
Mandy, how old are your children now?
12 and almost 16.
Okay. So it seems like as you date more and get used to it as well, you realize that maybe the kids, that's actually okay with the kids. And as they get older, it just feels like something just part of your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like you're just going out on dates with them. I think it's good for them to see that. Like, hey, dad's like, you know, not going to be, you know, alone and some kind of like, you know, lonely old man sitting in his house. He's, you know, he's got a social life of his own. And here, that's what dating looks like. You know, you go out, you spend some time with somebody. It's not a big deal. It's like everybody that you meet and go on a date with isn't, you know, my new, you know, your new stepmom. It's just like, it's just, you're going out and spending some time with them. But yeah, we have guests come on. So we'll have on our podcast, we have therapists and authors, dating coaches. And then we also have people that come on and tell stories. They're a lot of times they're horror stories, I guess, about their, we call them chairlift confessions. They come on and tell their stories about what their dating is. And, you know, once in a while there's the one that comes in and it's like, oh, this is the new stepmom or stepdad. And then they turn out to be really terrible people. But, you know, most of the time it's not like that. You can weed it out yourself before, you know, obviously don't like, you know, bring your one night stand home while your kids are there or something. Like, oh, here, they wake up in the morning and they're eating their Cheerios and here's this woman comes downstairs or something like that. Like, let's avoid that, obviously, but use some judgment.
So use some discernment and it's probably doesn't have to be as separate as some people might think.
That's what I would say.
I think the newer that you are to divorce, the more separate people seem to feel it needs to be.
Yeah. They make it big. I feel like they make it a bigger deal out of it than they should. You get a little more like chill about the whole, like who you're dating and what it means and so on. I'd say like the people we've talked to, the experts, the one of the main things is, and like, yeah, people get frustrated. We have a Facebook page where for the Dating Days Facebook group, and people are, you know, they complain a lot about dating on there. But I think one of the main things is just like the communication, like what, just communicate with people, like be open about it. If you have, if you don't understand something, or like maybe the biggest one is like you went on a date with somebody, it seemed to go okay, and then you don't hear from them.
And you've wrapped your whole world into the fact that you're going to marry this person.
Yeah, that's part of the sort of first few date things. Like, don't you know, get caught up in this hopeful.
I'm like, you can't marry somebody you've known for 5 minutes. You don't even know them.
Yeah, don't build up a hopeful relationship before you even went on one meeting.
Yeah, don't create unrealistic expectations in your head just because you are attracted to somebody and you think that they're cool and you had a good hour.
Yeah.
Listening to you talk and in some of my experiences, there's something actually really similar just in leadership and in organizational life, is that it's about how open and how clear and how authentic can you be in communication. There's not, it might be a different type of communication, a different type of relationship, but what's really going to work, whether it's in the workplace, leading people, or it's just, it's meeting people, or is open and clear communication.
Yeah,
it's, like, it's amazing how many people, sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
Well, it's sort of like you'll get, this is a common thing that comes up, like, hey, we were texting and we said, like, let's, you know, do you want to get together on Friday night, get some drinks? And yeah, cool. Yeah, that sounds great. And then it's like, then you don't hear back and it's like Thursday or something. It's like, what do I do? Like, I can't believe it. Should I? Well, they said, like, well, did you try just texting them and like saying like, hey, we said we're going to get together. Is that still happening? It's sort of like, what would you do if it was your friend? Like if I said to Mindy, let's get together Friday night, and then I didn't hear from a few days, and then I'd be like, Thursday, well, I'm going to text her and be like, what, are you still free? Are we getting together? Like where and what time? That kind of stuff. Just like try to think of it like that. Like, how would you communicate that with somebody? Or yeah, like you went out with somebody and you thought it went well, and then they don't text you back or something. Just like, you know, text them like, hey, I went out with you. I thought it was a great time. I was hoping we get together again. If you are interested, let me know. I'd be down for it. Just that, like, just get it clear. And if you don't hear back from them, there's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe their phone fell in a lake or something and they had to change their number with Verizon, but we know that didn't happen. So
maybe they just don't, maybe they're just not that into you, and that's okay too. You can't take offense.
Or they met somebody else, and so they're pursuing that. One date doesn't mean anything. Exactly. Even 5 dates, like, I mean, after 5 dates, you should probably tell somebody like, hey, I had fun, but I don't see this going anywhere. Or I met somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other side is also true. It's like, hey, if you went out with them and it seemed like it went well and they're texting you, but you're not that interested, just tell them like, hey, I had fun too, but I just don't really think this is going anywhere. Just, you know, there's probably a business equivalent to that too. Like job interviews and dating are a lot the same, I think. Trying to get a job, trying to find a relationship. There's a lot of similarities.
Speaking of job interviews, I was thinking about how, like, my parents were divorced and they met their second spouses both at work. And now with so many people moving to remote work or freelance, is that still like an active way to meet new people? Or is it really shifting so much to online? And thinking about texting, how we used, you know, it used to be phone calls and more in person, like how much has the transition to remote work and us not being in person as much changed dating?
I mean, I guess I've worked remote since 2015. So I have a different perspective, but it just depends on your industry, because with COVID, like a lot of industries now are going back to the office or having to go back a couple of days a week. So I think you are getting more of that in-person interaction. Obviously there were fields that never went remote. So there's still those in-person interactions.
I wonder if people have met, like, you know, through COVID and everything, you're on Zoom, you're doing all your remote work and stuff. I wonder if they, you know, these side chat conversations and then
those
would be interesting, fun stories.
Traction doesn't go away just because you're on Zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as meeting people now, you know, a lot of people will say like, oh, the apps are the worst. But it's like,
the dating apps, you mean?
Yeah, but I feel like and a lot of the experts we talk to, we're not experts, we're epic fails at this, but
making conscious decisions over here.
locking yourself up in your house and not like going out at all is probably.
I promise somebody is going to knock on my door, okay?
But the apps are a good tool to meet people, and you know, you got to use them right. And you know, you're not going to, you know, the first person or even the 10th or 50th one that you communicate with might not necessarily be somebody you're going to have a relationship with. And there's lots of frustrations. We've talked about a lot on our podcast about it too, about just like you're trying to meet somebody and whatever. It can take a lot of time, but it is a good tool to possibly meet somebody. But, you know, also just doing the things that you like to do and spending time doing those things. So like I ski a lot and, you know, I make friends, and maybe I don't meet a person that I'm going to date, but maybe they know somebody else. And so you go to some events or après activity, or maybe, you know, somebody's having a happy hour, you go to that, you meet them. But just doing the things you like and having a life that you like living, you're going to end up meeting people. And same thing with at work. Like maybe you're not sitting in the office and see like pass somebody on the elevator, but yeah, I mean, maybe they have some happy hours, meet in person. I don't know. It's a little tricky with work. Cause yeah, if you saw them on the Zoom call and you're like, you'd have to, you know, just even like before, if you saw somebody sitting in part of your, I mean, where I worked, there was a big office, you know, cubicle world. And maybe you're walking by somebody's cubicle thinking, oh, they're kind of cute, but I, you know, how am I going to approach that? Like, you'd have to ask somebody else. Like, you know, same thing with Zoom. You're going to end up having to be like, does anyone know, who knows that? Who knows her? And is she single? And would she be interested? And that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
a little tricky. You don't want to get yourself in trouble at work, like, because you thought somebody was cute on the Zoom call.
Very true. Well, what advice would you guys give someone who's recently single and is thinking about, you know, in midlife, maybe divorce, maybe kids, maybe not, but they're recently single and about the dating world today?
Yeah, I mean, I think first is like same thing is first get yourself a like life that you like living. Like, you know, you're single, you have all these new opportunities to do the things that you didn't have a chance to do. And especially like, if you have kids and you're divorced, well now, you know, hopefully in most cases you have 50% of your time free to do what you want to do, you know, do the things that you couldn't do when you're married with somebody. There's always a lot of compromises when you're in a relationship with somebody. You know, there's a book called Getting Past Your Relationship, How to Turn a Devastating Loss into the Best Thing That Ever Happened. And the take home message in one, you know, sentence with that is like, hey, you had to give up a lot of stuff, a lot of time, a lot of activities and things, compromises you had to make when you were with somebody. Now you're single. You don't have that going on and you can do a lot of things that you didn't have a chance to do before. And so get yourself a life that you like living. And then you can, you know, join groups. Like when I first got divorced, I did a class called Rebuilding When Your Relationship Ends. And I guarantee you, like right now in Denver area, which is where we are, there's a dozen of those classes going on right now. And it teaches you, it's like, here's, you know, you're sad, you're angry, whatever, all this different stuff. And eventually you build up the freedom. You can listen to all these other people. I ended up, you can't date the people in there. when you're in the class. But I did end up dating two of the women in there eventually after. And it's like a lot of those classes, at least for men, like there's, you know, I went there the first day and it was a little intimidating. There was like 10 people and 8 of them were women. So, you know,
good odds,
but
for you. Yeah. For Jeff. Yeah.
Good probabilities, but actually, yeah. So do, you know, and then, you know, start dating, but, you know, try to learn what you like and don't like, you know.
And don't attach your expectations to the first person that you go out with or make any presumptions about when you want to be remarried or if you want a long-term relationship. Just literally go meet people. The dad of Steve actually comes up here, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. So there's a movie first, I was going to say, one of the people we recently interviewed for the podcast is, she had a little saying called NATO, not attached to outcomes. You know, and that's a little bit, that's like our meet and greet philosophy. It's like, hey, you're going to even, you know, meet somebody on the app, you're going to say, hey, let's go get some drinks. Like, don't build up this vision of like, this is going to be the woman of my dreams. And we're going to, you know, I saw her picture. She's so cute. She said she likes to ski and man, this is going to be, we're going to have a great relationship. It's like, you got to like dial it back and go like, I'm going to go meet somebody, have a drink with them and see, like, do I like them? Am I attracted to them? And maybe you are, maybe you aren't. So don't get too attached, build up. And there's a movie called The Tao of Steve. You know, step one is, you know, don't have, you know, just go without any expectations about what's going to happen on your date. So there's three principles in The Tao of Steve. One is, no agenda. You're just going to meet them. You're not going to be like this. They're so hot. I'm going to totally sleep with them. Or they seem amazing. I'm going to like marry them and have, you know, children with them. So that's number one, just no agenda. You're just going to meet them. Number two is you have to demonstrate your excellence. And so somehow you've got to show them like something that you're really good at.
And not on the first date necessarily,
but that was a hard one for me because I think the thing I'm probably the best at is skiing. And it's like, how am I going to get them? Just watch me ski. But
you're a really good handyman too. You can go fix something at their house.
That's true. I could have volunteered to like fix their, you know, rewire their kitchen or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. And then step three is retreat. Like after they've done these things and they see who you are, you can't keep pursuing them because they're going to like, if something is pursued, it will run away usually. So you've got to kind of like, not necessarily like ghost them, but sort of back it off a little bit and sort of let them like know like, hey, I got my, and it was called The Tao of Steve because Steve was in the movies. Like Steves are always these cool guys like Steve McQueen and Steve McGarrett and Steve Austin. Some of those are from 70s TV shows. Maybe people don't know what they are, but Steve was just like a Steve McQueen. Like he's just a cool guy. He's like, he's confident in himself. He has a life that he likes living. He's demonstrated his excellence and he's just like, I'm chill, man. And if you're into me, you are. And if you're not, that's cool. I'll find somebody else. And I think that mindset is what you got to have really, you know, man or woman. I don't know what the equivalent of a Steve for women is, but, you know, just
like, I keep also hearing maybe not, you know, the Tao of Steve step two and three, but the one of not being attached to outcomes. I mean, that is a huge thing in life that especially in these more complex times that we're all trying to learn is like, how can I have a plan or do something and not be attached to an outcome? And so probably even more challenging and, you know, things of the heart. But it's just, it's having the courage to try something and then not be too attached to it. So.
Yeah. And even after you've dated a little bit, like let's say you're dating somebody for a month and you're like, it's going really well. Like, I think I'm going to like, you know, it might turn into something great, but you know, and that is one thing, especially well in the rebuilding when your relationship ends thing, they do talk about like, hey, that first person you date, like you're going to have some rebounds. Like, you know, at least several where, you know, you haven't dated for a while. I mean, the first woman I dated in 15 years after, you know, one of those people I met in that group. And, you know, she was great. Like she was really into me and we were, you know, we had a great time. And I was like, this is really awesome. I met somebody right away, but I was also thankfully maybe from the class, like realistic to say like, I haven't dated anybody in 15 years. I'm still trying to figure out who I am and what I want. And so, you know, you gotta, but you have to have a few rebounds. So yeah, don't just.
Some people marry their rebound, Jeff.
Sometimes they marry their rebound. I would say probably, if you could look at statistics, I'd say that probably leads to a higher level, a rate of divorce. The rate of divorce for second marriages is two-thirds. Two-thirds of the second marriages end.
I think I've read that because people don't really do the what we talked about earlier, some degree of healing and shift and change and discover like what was my role and what really happened in that relationship and just go on and repeat their patterns.
Yeah, so. They just repeat the pattern.
Well, I mean, 50% of first marriages fail. And honestly, and you can read statistics about this too, even of those 50% that don't get divorced for their first marriages, I'd probably guess that at least half of those probably wish they were divorced. They just didn't do it. You know, they just don't want to go through the, it's financially difficult. Maybe you have kids, maybe you're worried about what the effect of it's going to be on them. And so they just stay married and, you know, they're like, nah, this kind of sucks, but whatever. I don't want to deal with getting divorced. So honestly, you know,
or maybe they're honoring their commitment that they made to their family. I don't know. There is that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's a fabulous, I'm just loving this conversation so much because I, you know, I thought I would kind of, you know, listen to you all talk about, you know, the dating world because I haven't dated in so long and I have been married for 31 years, but you guys are speaking the exact same thing my husband and I are going through is finding out what you want, living your best life, what you like, being able, like when you're married for so long, it's like we can become one person, but we're not. We're still very much two people and we're still working on our own individual selves. We both go to therapy separate. We both do our own work. We both find our own hobbies. And so it is the same story. And I mean, I'm happily married. I absolutely love my marriage, but it is because we're doing the work to become the best versions of ourselves as a single person. Because that at the end of the day, it is about how whole and healthy we are individualistically. And that's how I see you as like how you take the experiences from dating and you use it and make better versions of yourself because of it. And you learn from it as opposed to just like continuing to, you know, let it kind of notch away at the confidence and stuff. And I think it's life in general and probably the gift of being in more middle life is we have more wisdom and more just like wholehearted living to be able to take the hard. So
and I love to hear that comparison because you have been married for 31 years and have not been divorced, have not, you know, dated in midlife per se, but actually you are dating. You are dating your husband and you guys are discovering new things about each other. And so regardless of if we choose or sometimes we don't choose to get divorced, it chooses us. Mm-hmm. But the message is that we are growing and changing and we're always two separate people. And to respect that both on for your own growth and the other person's growth it's not any different whether you're single or married.
It's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have so much, I feel so much in common with the same journey that you are on. It's just tied to one relationship, but I think it's the work for all of us.
Yeah. It's work whether you're married or single. Right. But I think having a positive outlook towards that work is probably one of the most important things.
Yeah. And being willing to do it. Not everyone is willing to do that work.
Well, there's a meme that I like to post once in a while. It says, you know, marriage and relationships cause a lot of problems, but they take a lot of work. And I'm like, work and problems that you wouldn't have if you weren't in those relationships.
Well, funny. And I always seem to find like when I'm doing whatever self-improvement on myself I'm doing, that the test of that, of how well that growth has gone is in relationship, whether it's, I mean, it can be a work
relationship.
Any relationship is the test of the work I've done in myself shows up in relationship. Oh, here's where I've really grown. Oops. Here's the spots I have to grow still. So there's something about that, about the beauty of that mirror coming back to you of either, woohoo, here I've grown, or, ooh, boy, I've got still got some work to do there. There's the next layer.
And they always say, you know, don't marry someone or don't expect your partner to change. Like, don't expect that what you want for them, that they're going to eventually become. But at the same point, don't go into a marriage thinking your partner's never going to change. Like, my husband and I have become so many different iterations of ourselves through this journey because we got married so young and we grew and matured. We have to give that space to grow and to change and to be like, yes, I used to like that and now I don't like it anymore, and have those conversations. You have to give grace both sides.
Yeah. And any other advice, Mindy and Jeff, for dating and midlife? And then we also want to know how our listeners can find you. But any other advice?
I think we've kind of covered the high level stuff. There's a lot of resources out there. So if you don't know where to start, utilize your resources.
Yeah, there's tons of, like, you know, because I have the podcast and, you know, I post things about it all the time. Like, so on Instagram and stuff, these dating coaches come up a lot. And I mean, there's a lot, and some of them, just like a lot of things, like various sort of coaches and therapists, whatever, books even, you know, some of them suck and some of them are pretty good, but you can find some. If you really are frustrated, you're trying to date, you just like cannot seem to have any, what you might call success. You know, there's a lot of people that you hire for not even really that much to help you, like, set up your dating profiles. And even, you know, I'm sure there's different levels of, like, they'll look at your profile, they'll help you answer the messages back and forth, and even sort of like hold your hand through the first few dates. But I mean, I think the
journals on how the dates went. There's,
oh yeah, there's, that's like, right.
There's, is it the roster? I forget what that was called.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff.
There's a lot of tools.
Roster dating is where you, like, which is it's basically just dating. Like, you have some people, you're going out with them, and like, hey, you know, I went out with so-and-so last week. What did I think of them? You like write some notes about it. And then now I'm going out with this person. And if they compare it, they use the term roster. Some people don't bristle at that, but it's sort of like, and then you can kind of look and think of it like a sports team, like which one is like my number one pick, and, you know, who I want to be on the team and that kind of stuff.
Like, how did I feel when I was with them? Like, it's all these pointed questions to kind of help you discern where you are with people versus just trying to figure it out in your own head. And like, oh, they didn't call me back.
But I mean, just have a, like, sort of a, you know, I think you got to have a good attitude. Like, just don't take it too seriously. I think that's one thing, like, from our podcast. Yeah, there's some heartbreak. And there's no doubt. Like, I've had my heart broken so bad, you know, several times over the last, you know, 15 years, where I just, you know, crying in the shower, curled up in the fetal position, you don't want to get out of bed, that kind of stuff, just like normal life. But I think you just got to, you know, just have a humorous look at things. It's just, it's like that about a lot of things in life. You know, your attitude matters a lot. So
one thing that hasn't changed over the last 20 years, technology has changed, but our ability to have a good attitude and work through things, that seems to be a constant.
Yeah.
And I also think, Jeff, I appreciate you saying that, because I think it can appear that it's hard. The single dating is harder for women, and that women are the ones broken, you know, their hearts are broken over and over, but, you know, it's just as hard for the guys out there. And just, you know, finding that good connection and being willing to put yourself out there and hope that it's received.
Yeah. And, you know, also when you're first dating, like, you really got to take a critical look at yourself and be like, would I date myself? Like, if, you know, whether it's your appearance or how you keep yourself or your communication with somebody or your interests in life, like, or would you date somebody like you? I think you got to really look at that, like, seriously, and go, like, what can I do for myself to make it myself, you know, the most possible, you know, best possibility of meeting and getting a relationship with somebody. It goes back, like I was saying, about think people bristle at this too. It's like, I don't want to, you know, the dating is like a job interview, and like, you, they ask all these questions or whatever. It is a little bit like a job interview, and there are going to be some of your basic, like, yeah, here's, I was married this long, I have these kids, this is where I grew up and shit like that. That's going to come up. But, you know, just like a job interview, though, too, is like, would you hire yourself for a job? And what could I do to make my resume look better in terms of, you know, getting this job? Like, what can I do? It's kind of how you got to look at it with dating. What can I do to make it, if I do meet somebody that I'm really interested in, you know, I want to be able to present my best self and, you know, demonstrate your excellence.
Number two. Yeah. I mean, that makes so much sense. I think I've been divorced almost 5 years, and just looking at the growth, like just the personal growth, just as a human, from the time that happened to now, it's really different. And I had to really commit to that and take a hard look at a lot of things, because life changed quite a bit. And so I had to change with it. So yeah, there's so much opportunity there as well. Now, how do our listeners find you? Because I think you have like 70-ish episodes, so there's so much more they could learn. How do they find you? And we'll also put it in our show notes.
Yeah, just so wherever you listen to your podcast, it's on there. You know, it's just Spotify and Apple and Pandora, et cetera. It's Dating Daze, DAZE. Just, you know, search on your podcast platform for that. Facebook, just search again, Dating Daze. We have a group on there. You can, people post memes and post questions and stuff. But yeah, Dating DAZE on Instagram. And then they can look me up on Instagram. I'm sorry, on Instagram, it's Dating Daze. I do have a Dating Daze Instagram account, which I have it there, and there's a link to the podcast in there. But you can also just look me up at JD Kimes, K-I-M-E-S is JD K-I-M-E-S on Instagram. And I post all the episodes on there and a bunch of stuff about skiing. But
all right. So for skiing and Dating days, yeah. Go to at JD Kimes. Awesome. Well, thank you both so much. I think this is a really important part of the vital chapters of life, especially with the numbers of divorced and single people. This is a base part of our well-being. And I think we've learned that regardless of if you're dating or not, it's about self-growth and self-healing and a good attitude. So thank you all so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Well, Jen, that was a really fun and interesting podcast. What did you get out of that?
Oh my gosh, I enjoyed it so much. I really enjoyed meeting Jeff and Mindy. I also really enjoyed just the synergies between being married and dating the same person for over 30 years to being out in the world dating, in that it really is all about ourselves. One, liking ourselves, doing the work of healing. You know, when you're in a marriage, the healing is always is tied to the same person. So it takes two to work on that healing, which I do think is probably why so many marriages can end in divorce, is that it does take those two people working to better themselves and the marriage. And so that's a lot of work, but it was just so much of the same conversation we had when you're single, when you find yourself dating again, is making sure that you are liking yourself and taking care of healing your soul and your heart. I loved it.
Yeah, I agree. I think about in the work that I do, even, you know, the base of conscious leadership and where we're going in this complex world is well-being. And part of what they talked about is, you know, regardless of if you're married or not married, like there is a journey into self and self-healing, and we have the opportunity to do that. And then we have the opportunity to test our healing in relationship, which is exactly no different than some of the work we're doing in organizations. Is in order to heal these systems that are hurting us, and I think we could largely say the system of marriage is hurting us right now, or else our numbers of divorce wouldn't be so high, that a lot of the answers to that lie in this deep work we do with ourselves, with it, which then impacts all the systems around us. And so I really related a lot of that also to the work I do with leaders. And when I'm working with leaders, again, you know, we talk about a lot of things at work, but we talk about their relationships as well, whether they're married or not. That's a really important part of how they show up as leaders, is what's going on in their personal life. So There's just so many nuggets from talking to Jeff and Mindy.
And it's so important that at the end of the day, you love your life and you are doing things, whether it's hobbies, whether it's therapy, whether it's your social circles, your groups, your faith community, whatever it is, that we are doing things that enhance and help us to love our life. That's at the end of the day. It doesn't matter if you're single, doesn't matter if you're married, doesn't matter if you're widowed. Like, what are you doing to move yourself intentionally into a place where you can honestly say you love your life?
Right. And no one can do that for us. We have to make those, people can help us and support us, but we have to make some choices on our own that we're going to be, you know, meet our own potential and live our best life.
I love it. It was a fabulous conversation. So awesome.
Look forward to
seeing you next week. Bye, Ren.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Life's Vital Chapters with Jen and Ren. We hope you found inspiration in today's stories and tools to navigate your own journey. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more stories and ideas.
A special thanks to our sponsors, Insight Coaching and Consulting and Connects Workspace, for their support in bringing these stories to light. Insight exists to raise the collective consciousness of our world and heal the systems that hurt us. Visit Insight at insight-cc.com to transform your leaders and your organization from the inside out.
Connects Workspace is a vibrant co-working community. Visit connectsworkspace.com if you are looking for a great place to connect in Golden, Colorado.
Join us next time on Life's Vital Chapters. Until then, keep turning the page and embracing your story. Remember, every chapter counts.